Good afternoon, Tucson. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. My name is Ray Allen, filling in for Bill Buckmaster, who is on vacation, I'm sure, enjoying himself up north in Canada. That's exciting. For more information on the Buckmaster Show, you can always visit buckmastershow.com. There's a link to the live stream there, also the podcast, the daily podcast of the show, and the archive of the many years of shows that Bill has done here for the Buckmaster Show. In case you missed anything, again, that is buckmastershow.com. On the show today at 12:30, we'll be joined by Oral Valley Mayor Satish Hiremath. We'll be addressing Tuesday's election in Oral Valley and some of the issues going on in the town today. And as always, we'd encourage you to call in at 790-2040. That number again, 790-2040, if you'd like to talk to us today. We're going to start off the show, though, with Mark Napier. First guest this first half hour, the Republican candidate for sheriff in Pima County. He just beat out his challenger, Terry Staton, in Tuesday's primary election, and will take on Democratic incumbent Sheriff Chris Nanos this November. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Well, welcome. It's good to be here. I will say that Buckmaster keeps putting on Facebook some very neat pictures of where he's at.
Oh, I know.
That looks a lot cooler than this, than Tucson, and is terrorizing every one of his Facebook friends with his great vacation.
Yes, everyone's jealous of,
yeah, I definitely
of Bill right now.
Yeah.
I can tell you that I am. So, you used to work with TPD. Your son now working with TPD.
Yeah, I was with Tucson Police Department for 21 years, and now my son Travis has been with the department about 4 years. He's a West Side police officer. I'm very proud of him. He's really got his head screwed on straight. And I know all dads think that, but if he was a knothead, I'd say it. But he's a really good police officer. I think he wants to serve for exactly the right reasons.
Yeah.
And fortunately, he has me to bounce things off of once in a while. I was a first-generation officer, so when I was going up through the department, I didn't have anybody to, you know, kind of give me those nudges and stuff along the way.
Well, that's cool. You know, we had talked before, and you and your son and I went to high school together, so that was kind of a cool thing to learn. Well, I want to say congratulations on your victory on Tuesday night. That's exciting for you, and I'm sure that you and Terry Staton had a nice conversation. I saw that you had posted on Facebook that everything between you and him is fine, I suspect.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a very good night Tuesday night. We were victorious 65-35, which is a very positive. Our team worked really well. I've got so many wonderful people working on the campaign, and we did very well. Terry and I have talked. We were never adversaries. We were competitors, and you can be a competitor without being dragging people through the mud or doing that kind of thing. And so we have a great deal of mutual respect for him. I have tremendous respect for Terry Staton and his contributions to the Pima County Sheriff's Department and how well he's thought of in that agency. Terry and I spoke Wednesday morning, and he's been reinstated, which is good. He should have never been suspended without pay in the first place. I'm very disappointed that he was reinstated without back pay.
Yeah, that's an issue.
I believe that he should have been afforded his back pay. He shouldn't have been suspended in the first place, in my opinion. It was clearly a political move on the part of Nanos, apparently being directed by Mr. Huckleberry to do so. And that's unfortunate. But I look forward to working with Terry in the future. I think he's a very strong leader for the department.
Good. So for the next 2 months, you're running against Sheriff Chris Nanos. Tell me about the general and how you plan to differentiate yourself from Mr. Nanos.
Well, first of all, we're very, very different people. And I think that there are a lot of issues at the Sheriff's Department right now. There's an FBI investigation that's been underway for quite a long time. And the FBI does not tend to recreationally investigate. So they've been after it for a long time for there to be nothing there. I don't know what will come of that. But irrespective of what comes of the investigation, I do not approve of the way he handled himself surrounding the investigation.
Yeah.
He went on a rant on KGUN9 that lasted 19 minutes berating the FBI. And people have to remember that the FBI are the people that investigate, you know, domestic terrorism incidents, bank robberies, and other things falling under federal jurisdiction. And we need to have a good relationship with them. Well, he just destroyed that relationship, which I think is very unfortunate. I've never met a group of employees that are as miserable as the current deputies and line-level supervisors are at the Pima County Sheriff's Department. Their morale is just terrible. They live in an environment that is very vindictive, has a lot of cronyism in it. I had a lot of deputies working on my campaign, and they said, "Mark, I'll put up signs for you." And I said, "Hey, that's great, but I got to do it in the middle of the night."
Wow.
Because I'm scared of retaliation. This is not the environment we should be comfortable with. And then I would have deputies call me because my cell phones are readily available. And they would say, "Look, I don't want to identify myself, but I'm an ex-year veteran of the Sheriff's Department, blah, blah, blah." And I that should not be the way things are, where you're afraid of the chief law enforcement officer of the county when you're a law enforcement officer yourself. We shouldn't be comfortable with that. The cronyism that exists in the department is really troubling. You know, the governor wanted to put some resources on the southern Arizona border to help us out with border safety issues. And Mr. Nanos referred to that as being insulting. I don't think working with the governor on border safety issues is insulting. So we've got fractured relationships with a lot of political entities. He's not get along well with the press.
Yeah.
And internally, there's a lot of problems.
We're talking with Mark Napier, Republican candidate for Pima County Sheriff. If you have any questions or comments, call in now, 790-2040, 790-2040. Now, aside from internal issues that are going on in the department itself or in the Sheriff's Department, what are some of the unique issues in Pima County that you think you'll have to do some work on, you know, setting aside some of the things that are actually happening in the department?
Well, I think there are a lot of opportunities.
Yeah.
I think we need to reestablish a good relationship with the governor's office and really press the governor to put resources down here for us to deal with border safety and drug issues. I'm looking forward to meeting with Chris Magnus, chief of Tucson Police Department. I think we can do a much better job there of communicating and sharing resources and ideas. I certainly have a lot of friends and acquaintances on that department that I think would be beneficial for everybody. You know, in the external environment in law enforcement right now is very strained. Nationally, there are a lot of issues out there. My undergraduate degree is in social psychology, and I think that will help. I'm going to reach out to the minority communities, disadvantaged communities, and make sure that we have lines of communication open, because sooner or later things happen. And it's much easier to deal with those things when they do occur if you already have those lines of communication and lines of trust established. You can't establish them during times of crisis. It doesn't work that way. So I think there's tremendous opportunities to bridge relationships with other law enforcement agencies, have a much more positive interaction with the press. I make myself readily available to all members of the press currently. And then to get away from this partisanship. People think I'm nuts, but I went to the victory event for the Democratic Party on Tuesday night.
Wow.
I did that because Barbara LaWall won.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm fortunate enough to be the sheriff, I need to work with Barbara. And I've known Barbara for a good long while. And I went there to congratulate her. I like Joel Fineman a lot. I really do. I think he's a great guy. And had he been there, I would have, you know, given him a conciliatory hug.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what we should be doing. Partisanship should not enter into public safety.
Yeah.
It shouldn't.
Well, I want to take it back to something you mentioned earlier about your relationship with the governor and improving that, especially with regard to border security. You know, Donald Trump was in Phoenix yesterday talking about immigration, you know, talking about his plans for what he would do if he becomes president. And certainly Tucson's proximity to the border, also Pima County, you know, has some of the U.S.-Mexico border as part of it. How does immigration affect law enforcement for the Sheriff's Department in Pima County? And specifically, what are your plans for that, aside from just increasing the relationship that you have with or creating a better environment between you and the governor?
Well, I think we need to leverage a lot of relationships there with the Border Patrol, you know, the Department of Homeland Security. There are very serious issues, and we have to separate apples and oranges. There are bad actors coming up through that border because it is not secure, and we don't know who's coming through the border. We know that a tremendous amount of narcotics come through the border undetected because they're here, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
We know that a lot of people make that arduous journey across southern Arizona deserts and die in those deserts every year. I don't think that's compassionate public policy. People are victimized at just an alarming rate, these people that are coming across the border. The sensible public policy is to secure the border. I think you can do that with human and resources and technology. technology at a far lower cost point and much more effectively than you can do a wall. I'm not a favor of the wall. I think it's kind of a silly idea. Mm-hmm. We do need to secure that border. And then it allows you that when the people are coming across the border and you've dissuaded these people from coming across to for the better life, those people, if you've dissuaded those, then only people left are, if you will, the oranges. Yeah. And currently, law enforcement is consumed with chasing these people and rounding up people that arguably probably don't present a profound public safety risk, and the bad actors are getting through, and we don't know who they are. I don't know that we don't have terrorists going through. I'm not suggesting that we do. I'm just suggesting we don't know.
You just don't know.
That's
yeah.
And that's problematic.
And unknowns are not necessarily the best thing, I guess. We're talking with Mark Napier, the Republican candidate for Pima County Sheriff. One other quick issue that might come up throughout the campaign between you and Mr. Nanos is, when was the last time that you were actually active in law enforcement? Was how long ago now?
Well, it depends on how you define that.
Yeah.
I would say a week ago.
Okay.
I teach at the graduate level for okay. Boston University. I just got done teaching a graduate level course in victimology. Mm-hmm. I actually got to teach this time, which I don't often do. I'm usually supervising teachers and evaluating curriculum. But I've been on the cutting edge of law enforcement criminal justice thought since 2004, when I was hired by Boston U after I graduated with my master's degree. I've never left the field.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been involved in it. I've been out of a police uniform for six
yeah.
years. But I don't think that that's a liability. And in fact, I will tell you, and I think a good many people would agree, that being away from law enforcement for a little while and seeing it from the outside in, I will tell you, I've learned more about law enforcement and community concerns and broadened my perspective tremendously by being away from it for a little while and being able to look at it from the outside in.
Okay. I want to continue that conversation on the other side of the break because, you know, the national conversation that we're having right now is about policing and about how it's done and what exactly we can do to make policing more efficient and better for the community. If you have any questions or comments for Republican Sheriff Candidate Mark Napier, call in now at 790-2040. We'll be back right after this to continue the conversation on the Buckmaster Show. Ray Allen filling in for Bill.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
This is Bill Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show features Arizona newsmakers and more than two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion and your calls. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. Also on my website, buckmastershow.com.
Good afternoon, Tucson, 1219. This is the Buckmaster Show. Ray Allen here filling in for Bill Buckmaster, who is vacationing in Canada now. We are still joined by Republican candidate for Pima County Sheriff Mark Napier. Mark, we have a caller on the phone, Pat. I want to bring Pat on now. Pat, welcome to the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you.
Hi, Pat. What do you have to say for us today?
Well, I want Mark to know that he was definite. I voted for him, and Mark, I want you to win, and I have never been so involved in an election before. My mouth dropped open when that Iran deal went through and when police officers were getting shot. I am voting for Trump. I am definitely on the right. I would not vote left, and I hope you win.
Well, thank you very much, Pat. We do need a big change, we got a lot of work to do here in Pima County. The Board of Supervisors races are really important, but the sheriff is the top law enforcement official in the county, and that's a very important office, and I very much appreciate your support.
I hope you win.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Tell all your friends and neighbors, word of mouth. 10 people tell 10 people who tell 10 people, and we'll be in November.
I hope so. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, we have another caller on the phone. Charles, is this Charles Heller?
Yes, it is. I have a question for Sheriff Napier.
Thank you, Charles.
That is, yeah, you're welcome. That is, there is a, in the wake of the 2000, I think it was in 14, but it may have been in 15, there were two NYPD officers murdered in their unmarked cruiser.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, Congress passed the blue alert, similar to the Amber Alert, but instead of being outward, it's inward, and it goes to all police agencies. The Congress authorized it, but it hasn't been implemented at all. Can you, if you know anything about it, and I realize you can't keep up with political campaign, you can't keep up on every development going on, but if you can shed any light on it, I'd sure appreciate it, especially a blue light, I suppose.
Well, yeah, Charles, I'm vaguely familiar with it. I know that it has not taken root like it should. It just didn't get any traction. It should, however, because when these events happen currently, as you're aware, they're localized events. In other words, a bad actor acts out in L.A., and we believe it to be isolated in L.A., but we don't consider the possibility that it's part of a wider spread attack on law enforcement. And so we don't have that alert system that would tell my son in Tucson, you know, hey, there's this. I think it is informally done. Law enforcement does a pretty good job of saying, hey, there was a ambush of officers in San Diego, be on heightened alert. I think we do a pretty good job there, but I really want to enhance the public's awareness of how the threat level for law enforcement has changed. It is markedly different than it has been in previous years, and we need to be talking about that.
Good question, Charles. Thanks for the call. And Pat, also thank you for your call. This is a good segue because I want to talk about some of the issues that law enforcement are now facing as a bigger picture, not only in Pima County, but everywhere. I mean, this is kind of, it's in the media almost every day, whether it's, you know, Dallas shooting or Baton Rouge. You know, Pat mentioned Dallas. It's an issue that no matter what capacity law enforcement you're in, you're going to be facing it. So how do you plan to rise to the challenge that you're faced with when it comes to all of this that is out there, this big, what is seen as a problem by some? I mean, the police brutality that people think is an issue and also the police shootings. What do you think about all that?
Well, we have a two-hour show, right?
Yeah, right, I know. Actually, can you answer that in 2 minutes?
Yeah, that's. I love those candidate forums. 2 minutes is a blessing if you don't know anything. The threat level for law enforcement has changed. The ambush type of killing of officers is markedly up in the six-month report from the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial. Does a very good report on this. So the complexion of the threat has changed a lot. Law enforcement needs to be aware of that, but also at the same time not go into this stage of hyper-alertness where they become less public servants and more of an occupying force. We have to find a balance with that. We have to confront the fact that a sizable amount of this is driven on a false narrative. I am sorry, but hands up, don't shoot was a false narrative. It was not true. The Freddie Gray thing was not true. And I'm not suggesting for 1 minute, because I don't believe that's the case, that there isn't racism and socioeconomic inequalities in this country, because they do exist. They're profound, and we need to be talking about them. Are police officers acting out badly? Yes, it does happen, and we need to confront that. And I'll tell you, the people that are the least accepting of that are other law enforcement officers. Because these people who act out under the color of their uniform don't just besmirch themselves. It's an indictment on our entire profession. So we hate this. But if you look at statistically the number of interactions that law enforcement officers have every day with people of color, and that go fine, perfectly. Statistically, the bad events are a very, 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 very low amount of the total interaction that law enforcement has.
So how do policing departments and sheriff's departments, how do they have a better conversation, maybe with the media? What is it that they need to do to actually maybe not have the, you know, hyperbolic approach that the media does, and get through that a little bit?
Well, I think that the main thing that law enforcement doesn't do a good job of is establishing these relationships before you need them. Ferguson had no relationship with the minority community when that blew up, so there wasn't any of these lines of communication or trust to fall back on, and that's it exploded. So you need to develop these lines of communication and understanding before you need them, and make sure that there's a thing in psychology called differential interaction, which is the ability to interact with people on a different level, and police officers are not able to do that very often anymore. We're going call to call to call to call, so they don't interact in these positive ways. So we need to find a way to get officers more involved with the community on a positive basis, and you know, that really does have a meaningful impact. Especially if you've got white officers who haven't had a lot of interaction with minority communities prior to becoming a police officer.
Well, that brings up another thing. It's kind of a buzzword, but community policing is something that everyone's talking about now. Is that kind of what you're speaking about here? How do you feel about community policing?
Community policing has been around for a very long time, and it's had a difficult time finding itself and really defining what it is. I had that interaction with the chief of police in Portland many years ago, and what he said, which I thought was exceptionally profound, he said, if anybody on my department utters the word community policing, they should be disciplined. And I went, oh, I like this guy, because he's out of the box. You know, that's like saying you don't like baseball and hot dogs and apple pie. And he said, here's the problem. As soon as you call it community policing, it's an initiative. It's a program. It's somebody else's problem. He said, there's the community and the police. And if we're not doing community policing, what in the world are we doing? He said, community policing is not about people on bikes or people fixing cooler pads or any of these things. It's about how we give a traffic ticket. It's about how somebody answers a telephone and records. It's about how we take a burglar report. He said, this has not got to be a program. It's got not be an initiative, but rather it's a condition that permeates everything we do and how we see ourselves, so that law enforcement and the community are not two different silos, but one and the same, that law enforcement is a part of the community. And I think that's where we need to work toward, is enhancing that understanding of what it really is and how you measure the success
that
of it.
That makes sense. You know, accountability for law enforcement is another issue out there. And what people are doing now is adding or outfitting officers with body cameras. What do you think about that, and how do you feel about body cameras?
It's a mixed bag. I'm not a particular proponent of body cameras for a lot of reasons. One is the body camera simply gives a certain view of an incident. It doesn't have peripheral vision. Yeah. It doesn't have the benefit of three decades of police experience. When I look at somebody, I see things that a camera will never see. And then the propensity for the media to potentially use 10 seconds of a 20-minute video to make a point.
Yeah.
And out of context, sometimes that doesn't apply to the same picture. The positives are that I believe that officers wearing body cameras tend to act differently because they know that their actions are being recorded. And to some degree, the public feels more trust toward law enforcement if they have those. So there's some positive and negative there. I don't think they're the panacea to fix all the problems.
Got it. Okay. Well, Mark Napier, Republican candidate for Pima County Sheriff, thank you for coming on. How can people learn more about you? What's your website? Where can they go for all that?
Well, my website's really easy. It's marknapier.info. There's a lot of information on there. We take transparency to a new level. There's all kinds of things on my website. My graduate school transcript is on there. So if you want to look at that, you can see what grades I got. my last evaluation as a captain is on the website, unredacted. I think people need to see those things. And also, my personal cell phone number is on there, so you can actually call me and I pick up my phone.
All right, sir. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be right back after this with Satish Hiremath, Oral Valley Mayor. This is the Buckmaster Show.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an AMA Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:34 now, AM 1030 KVOI. The voice, I'm Ray Allen, filling in for Bill Buckmaster, who is vacationing up in Canada. I saw that on his Facebook page that he was getting on a plane today. I don't know if he's coming back or if he's going to another place, but I hope that he has safe travels. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours away from Tucson here. So much to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, like exploring historic downtown Silver City or visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument for a complete listing of the many things to do and the great places to stay. Go to visitsouthwestnewmexico.org. Now, we are waiting for Dr. Satish Hiremath to join us on the air. He's with a patient at the moment, but we can lay some of the background here for what we're going to talk about. Of course, the election was on Tuesday, and the town council in Oral Valley is going to shift quite a bit. A lot of things changing up there in Oral Valley. So it'll be interesting to ask Satish what is going to happen and what the impact of that will be. Also, we're going to be looking at what's happening with the RTA and what's going to go on with over the next 10 years with that. If you have any questions or comments that you'd like to add to the conversation while we wait for Satish to join us, you can call in at 790-2040. That number is 790-2040. Now, one of the interesting things that's happening up in Oral Valley right now, a couple of things actually, is this University Veterans School, a story that came down earlier this month, because this is the beginning of the new month, but the U of A Veterans School ran into some issues. The $8 million was infused into the Veterans School from the state taxpayers, and this is from the Arizona Daily Star, Tucson.com. And what happened was that there's some accreditation issues, and this is going to be something that will be interesting to address with Satish as well. On the other hand, though, we have this other chemistry company here with the U of A Cancer Center. They're going to get a lot of growing power here. So we'll see what Satish has to say about that as well. Want to also bring up one of our other nice sponsors here on the Buckmaster Show. It's presented by Green Things. That's located at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. You can check out Green Things. On their 13 acres of gardening at Green Things, visit greenthingsaz.com. That's greenthingsaz.com. What we're going to do here is we're going to try and get a hold of Satish and make sure that he has the ability to join us after this break, and we'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved, almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now, with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
And good afternoon, Tucson. 12:41 now on the Buckmaster Show. Ray Allen sitting in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster, who is in Canada at the moment, enjoying his time up north, probably with much cooler temperatures, and we are all jealous of him here down in Tucson, though it's been not too bad in Tucson. Gotta admit, the mornings are pretty nice now. We are now joined by Oro Valley Mayor Satish Hiremath. Satish, welcome to the program.
Hey, Ray, how are you?
Doing well.
Sorry for giving you a little scare. I was trying to get out of a room and
no, it's all right. You know, sometimes
a little bit late. So.
Sometimes that dental work calls, man. You got to do what you got to do, right?
That is right.
Well, so let's talk. You know, post election. How do you feel about the results of Tuesday's election?
You know, I feel very, very good. And you know, I think the residents of our community kind of spoke loud and very clear about the continued positive direction that we're heading in, and I think their votes were a result of that reflection of, you know, hey, you know, let's just keep moving forward. And you know, one of the things that I think people forget is that when anybody deals with the municipality, what they're looking for is continuity and stability. And you know, money's still very difficult in these recessionary times, and if they're going to invest in the community, they want to make sure that their local government is you know, has a certain amount of solidarity to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the biggest thing that I think our residents are going to enjoy, is just the continuity and the stability and really creating a foundation for the future of Oro Valley. You know, we have crafted now an identity which was 180 degrees from the identity with which Oro Valley was founded, which is we no longer are a retirement suburb next to a large major metropolitan city. We have an identity of our own, and people want to live, work, and play in our community. And I think this election was reflective of that want, the desire, and the continuation of the town of Oro Valley in the direction that it's headed.
Yeah, I want to take it to that a little bit. You know, politically speaking, the waters have been a bit unsteady in Oro Valley. You know, the community center caused some backlash, and then there was the recall election that voters didn't approve of, and now you have basically all of those who were opposed to the community center on the council voted out Tuesday. I mean, do you see this as a win for Oro Valley politically because it will stabilize the waters? Is that what I heard you saying earlier?
Yeah, you bet I do. And you know, it's one of these things where, and I liken it to, you know, any private business that has a board of directors that are split and really pulling in opposite directions, it makes it very difficult for that private company to be successful. Well, you can translate that over to really public. You know, government exists to provide services. And when there's that much of a difference of opinion about, you know, what services to provide and how we're going to do it, you know, you have to basically respect all the opinions, but at the same time, we're not really moving forward according to the residents' wishes. And
yeah.
So again, you know, I talk about continuity and I talk about stability,
mm-hmm.
and I talk about it in terms of it is the continued forward progression of the town of Oro Valley from where it came. And so for me, I'm very excited for the Oro Valley residents because, you know, we now have a unified council, not in decision making, and I want to make that clear, but
mm-hmm.
we have a unified council in that all seven of us are going to now start looking at how to move the community forward versus, you know, taking it in different directions. And that's a big differentiating point.
Yeah, I think that some people might have a fear of almost a groupthink mentality sometimes, though. Is that something that you would be...
Well, you know, groupthink mentality, you know, if they equate that with, you know, everybody rowing in the same direction, then I guess, yeah, label seven as groupthink mentality. But if you're talking about
yeah.
groupthink mentality that everybody is a robot or a zombie, as, you know, some people have actually fondly termed us, then that couldn't be further from the truth. You know, we all have ideas about how to move the community forward, but, you know, we have similar ideas, and I'll tell you, give you one. In the absence of a property tax, you know, what do we reside, or I mean, what do we have left to do? Our tools and our
mm-hmm.
economic development tools right now, we live and die by sales tax and utility tax, basically. Those are the only two taxes that our residents pay. And so if you don't have a stable platform for businesses to be successful and to thrive, and you're a little bit anti-business or you're a little bit anti-growth and anti-development,
yeah.
And, you know, the investment in Narana Park site with sports tourism, the archery range, the aquatic center, yes, the golf course, and even the tennis courts, well, those are economic development tools that help keep the property tax at bay. But, you know, all services cost something. So when you remove those economic development tools, or you want to remove half of them, well, guess what? The individuals who are anti-growth, anti-business, anti-development, anti-sports tourism, you know, anti-investment in those things that are going to bring non-residents into our community to
mm-hmm.
spend money in our community so we can have those services, well, that's when you start heading down the road of a property tax. But I feel more secure and more comfortable now because we have all of our economic development tools intact, that we're further removing ourselves away from a property tax. And that's really big. That was what all of our commitments were since 1974, that
yeah.
the town of Oro Valley residents don't want a property tax. Well, this kind of helps us to actually stay away from that versus, you know, the other group that were anti-business, anti-growth, anti-development, you know, anti-economic development tools. That's kind of where we stand right now.
Got it. Let's talk about development just for a minute here. You know, last time I was in for Bill, I had your probably friend Marana, Mayor Ed Honey on the show. And the situations in Marana and Oro Valley are a bit different in that Marana has some room to grow outward, but Oro Valley, it would seem, has to fill in a smaller area. But people want to live in Oro Valley because it's a nice place and it's great up there. Now, you have apartment complexes and other development that's happening, and people were, you know, not necessarily in favor of that, but it seems with this vote that the people in Oro Valley tend to actually want more development. Would that be a true statement?
Yeah, I would think so. And I wouldn't really say that they're consciously aware of actually what we need to develop our community, but I think they want the amenities that go into the fact where they live, they want to work and play now as well.
Got it.
And,
yeah.
You know, Marin and Oro Valley has been very successful because we don't duplicate what each other has. And I think having that baseline understanding of, you know, we're in competition to a certain degree, but we need to work together to provide each one of our residents, because Tangerine is the umbilical cord between Marin and Oro Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if they're going to build outdoor premium outlet malls, well, that's not something that we want to duplicate because it doesn't make sense. And,
yeah.
You know, if we're going to have the Children's Museum here in the town of Oro Valley, and focus on higher education and those kind of opportunities, then Marana doesn't want to compete with us. And so all of a sudden you have a synergistic effect and a synergistic relationship between two municipalities who otherwise would end up competing against each other. And I think that's why both towns have been successful.
Be the rising boats principle.
JFK. You bet it is.
Yep.
Right.
So a couple of different storylines going on in Oro Valley right now. You have the veterinary school, which is kind of in limbo at the moment. And you also have I found this story on this company here, this, what is it, a medicine biochemistry company?
Icogen?
Yeah. Yep. I don't know. No, it's Sanofi that purchased...
Correct, right.
Yeah. So you have, you know, a couple of different storylines there. One of them is not doing so well, but the other is doing quite well. Just explain a little bit about, you know, some of the good news and the bad news of what's happening with those two entities.
Well, there really is no bad news. So we'll take the quasi-bad news first. So what the University of Arizona is doing is revolutionary. It's globally revolutionary. So when you go up to an accreditation committee that only knows what they know based on traditional veterinary schools,
mm-hmm.
Well, that model doesn't fit in their box. And I advise President Weaver Hart and Shane Burgess, Dean Burgess, that when they submit their application, be fully expecting to get rejected because they have nothing to base it on. You know, so this is not a traditional veterinary school.
Okay.
This basically is a model which 85% of the disease that man acquires occurs from plants and animals. So this degree is a combination veterinary degree, agriculture degree, and computer modeling.
Okay.
And what they're trying to do is to stop the transmission from plant-based, animal-based to man. And there's nothing globally like it. So... of course it's going to get rejected because they don't have anything to base it on. But I feel very confident that given time and when they file the appeal, which is my understanding they have or will very shortly, and they sit down in front of the accreditation committee and talk face-to-face with people and tell them that, you know, this is the plan and here's what we're going to do, so we may have to start a new accreditation model, I feel very comfortable that's going to be successful.
Okay.
So the timeline hasn't changed from 2017, and I don't anticipate that to change. Now,
good.
Icogen bought out the Sanofi.
Yeah, that's what happened. Okay.
Yeah. And basically, there was a spinoff, no different than Ventana Medical Systems from U of A, and then all of a sudden Roche bought them. So again, the good news there is that there is continued investment in the white collar jobs that we're
mm-hmm.
trying to attract, bioscience, you know, biotechnology, life sciences. And in addition to that, you know, we are becoming not only a bioscience hub in this in the Southwest United States, but we're becoming an educational hub. You know, the fall of 2017, we have the first nationally recognized STEM school K-5 that is being built in Oro Valley, along with the continued investment of BASIS, both of our great high schools, Ironwood CDO, private schools, Pushridge Christian Academy. So all those things kind of play into just that intentional by design approach of what we want our community to look like.
Yeah, and it really seems like the face of Oro Valley, as you said earlier, has changed. You know, I lived in Oro Valley 16 years ago, and like you were saying, it definitely did have a different identity than it does now.
It sure does. And it isn't that we wouldn't have got to where we need to go. But boy, how nice is it when you have, like I said, everybody rolling in the same direction?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean just council. I mean, you know, business leaders. I mean nonprofit groups. I mean residents and, you know, developers. And, you know, when everybody understands that there's a collective greater good and everybody has an investment in our town, well, miraculous things tend to happen, and that's what I look forward to.
Yeah. So another factor is that will contribute to Oral Valley is Caterpillar moving to Tucson. That's a big win for the Tucson area and the metro area in general. What do you think is going to the impact of that will be on Oral Valley?
Well, you know, no different than really Raytheon, to be honest with you. I think we have something like 4,500 employees that, you know, work at Raytheon that drive all the way and live all the way over here in Oro Valley. So I see more of the same, Ray. Mm-hmm. You know, I see the surrounding municipalities as most likely where the residents of these large employers want to reside. But, you know, there again, it's a synergistic effect with Pima County, City of Tucson, Marana, Oro Valley, Sahuarita, and, you know, both tribe nations. You know, again, I see just a hotbed happening right here in the metro Tucson region, and especially in Pima County. And I think, you know, we just all realize that we can't be insular and we can't do it together. And I'm very proud to say that Marana and Oro Valley have really forged that kind of leadership, mm-hmm. You know, for the entire region. You know, Pima County has always been a very strong supporter of Oro Valley and, you know, continues to be an integral part of really, you know, who and what Oro Valley is.
Mm-hmm. Good. We're talking with Oro Valley Mayor Satish Hiremath. Satish, I want to kind of shift away from Oro Valley a bit and talk about the RTA.
Sure.
You sit on the board of the RTA, and you know, we're 10 years into this voter-approved project. At the halfway point, how do you feel about how everything's going now?
You know, I feel very, very, very good. And the reason I say that is that, you know, we made a promise to the community, you know, when they bonded back in, I think it was 2006, that we were going to get X number of projects done and we were going to try to get through that whole project list. Now, nobody could, you know, ever envision the recession that occurred. Which I firmly mm-hmm. believe that we're still in, but the beauty of that is that we've kept our commitments. You know, we're expanding roadways, we're putting in new roadways. You know, we're making this a bicycle friendly county, and so you know, through worst economic recessions, you know, in this country, we created significant amount of jobs during that time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's one of those things where we're just plodding along at the halfway mark. You know, would we like to be a little bit further ahead? Yeah, you bet. But, you know, I don't think we anticipate the recession actually, you know, going into another decade or so.
Yeah.
So I think given the tools that we had, given the solidarity of the RTA board, I think we've done a phenomenal job. And Farhad Mohimi, who's the executive director for the Pima Association of Governments and the Regional Transportation Authority, has done a remarkable job with the skeleton staff. And it's a good product. It's a good package. And
yeah,
we're continuing to move ahead.
So they're bringing you back to Oro Valley a little bit, northwest side Tucson. There's two projects on the northwest side now. You have the INA I-10 interchange and the Tangerine project, both part of the RTA.
Yes.
And both impacting the northwest side. Both will have an impact on Oro Valley. As you know, the Oro Valley mayor and a member of the RTA board, these are major corridors to and from Oro Valley. So what do you think the overall impact on the northwest side of town will be, and Oro Valley specifically, both during the construction and then after the construction?
Well, I think to be honest with you, it's going to be an inconvenience because we're just used to the convenience. But
yeah,
keep in mind too, Ray, you know, before Tangerine was ever undertaken to undergo construction, more road was built as the bypass.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the bypass. So there should be no effect really on the actual ingress, egress up in the northwest area specific to Oro Valley. And then same thing with the I-10 project. You know, Twin Peaks was actually designed before INA Road. And so, again, it goes to this is by design. So that's not to say that people aren't going to be inconvenienced, but I want to make a huge differentiating point that there is a marked difference between being inconvenienced and having to spend another 3 or 4 minutes getting around than mm-hmm. actually decimating businesses and decimating the area and isolation of residents, and that's not what we have.
Totally. So we have a minute and a half left. It might be, you know, a little early to ask this, but, you know, you have 10 years left. What happens 10 years from now, and do you think that there will be another sales tax and for voters to approve in 2026?
You know, to your point, you know, we're pretty much landlocked, to be honest with you. So we don't have a substantial amount of growth and development left. Now, you know, if you start annexing the 9,000 acres north of us up at Arroyo Grande from the State Department, That's a great planning document to see, you know, what the residents of Oro Valley want.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's going to be up to that mayor and that council, if it's not me and the council here. But, you know, that's the great part of it. You know, now with the solidarity that we're going to have and everybody's input is going to be listened to and heard, it's going to be the residents because it's going to be inclusive of the development, the apartments, the business, and, you know, the nonprofits who are going to weigh in and all pull in that same direction. And that's the most thing that I'm excited for.
Got it. Well, seems like things up in Oro Valley are going pretty well. I think that you're going to have some interesting times, and not bad, and not a bad way, a good way. So,
well, absolutely. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, for sure, Satish. Thank you so much. Satish Hiermath, the mayor of Oro Valley, joining us today. And I just want to say thank you all for joining us on the show. Bill Buckmaster will be back next week to join us on the Buckmaster Show. Again, for more information on the Buckmaster Show, you can visit buckmastershow.com. Again, there's a link to the live stream and all of the podcasts. You can listen to today's show again, buckmastershow.com. Tomorrow, Dan Shear will be filling in for Bill. He'll have the media roundtable and everything that you'll need to know post-election with some people from the media. Until then, I am Ray Allen on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, wishing you a good afternoon.